Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here. We just wrapped another amazing HCI Live and have all come home more inspired than ever. I wanted to share a couple of my favorite moments at HCI Live featuring one of our incredible guest speakers, Dr. Sean Stevenson. Now, if you don't know anything about Dr. Sean Stevenson, I suggest you pause this podcast and go to the HCI Facebook page and check out the interview that he and our favorite boss babe, Carrie Peters, had on Tuesday Tips. We're also sharing a student highlight and a new HCI partnership on this podcast. So stay tuned and I hope you enjoy.
I was 12 years old when I first heard this song come on to the television. Maybe you've heard it before. It goes something like this. Ba-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. Anybody know what that is? Hail to the Chief. And when do they play Hail to the Chief? When the President of the United States comes out. Now, I'm 12 years old. I'm in my family living room. I'm watching the television. I see this man walk on stage, and everybody just jumps to their feet and starts applauding. And I'm thinking, I gotta have that job. I went into school the next day. I went up to all my teachers, and I said, excuse me, I am going to be the President of the United States. Now, do you think my teacher said, yes, you are? Did they say that yes or no? No. What happens when we tell people our lofty goals? They go, oh, sweetie. Pump the brakes, sweetie. But I didn't care. I don't listen to my doubters. I don't listen to my haters. I can't afford the luxury. You see, when I was born, the doctors told my parents I would be dead within the first 24 hours of my life. I'm happy to report that 38 years later, all those doctors are dead. And I am the only doctor that remains. So that goes over really well everywhere but hospitals. They're like, I don't know, should I clap at this guy now? But you cannot afford the luxury of listening to your doubters. If anything, I want you to doubt the doubters. I want you to erase any dialogue that is being had with inside of you that says, I can't do this. You know, that 12-year-old boy had this vision of being the President of the United States of America. And there were some things that I had to learn. First of all, you got to be 35 years old. I had some time, okay? Next, you got to understand economics, human relations. You got to know how to pay people off. There's a lot you have to know to become President of the United States. But as the years went by, I didn't listen to my doubters. I just had this clear vision in my mind of living at the White House. Now, just by a raise of hands, who have ever had a big vision? Maybe, like, let's try this out. Raise your hand if you've ever wanted to write a book. Okay, put it up high. Put your hand down if you haven't finished writing it yet or published it yet. Okay, we're losing a lot of hands. So, we have these visions. We have these things inside of us that are so calling us. But sometimes as the years go by, we think, oh, because time has passed, it's probably not going to happen. But for me, I was like, I don't care what others are thinking. I just need to get some proof. I need to get some traction on this goal. So when I finally got to college, I thought, Sean, if you're going to go live at the White House someday, why don't you first check out the decorating and go work at the White House? See if you even like the place, all right? And I remember the day that I applied and got the letter in the mail to tell me whether or not I had been selected to work in the White House. Now, just by a raise of hands, who have ever received either an email, a phone call, or a piece of mail that the information inside of those communications would change the course of your life forever, right? It's that moment when you're holding the envelope going, I'm not the father, I'm not the father. You're outnumbered, boys. So there I am. I'm holding the envelope. It's a bright white envelope. When you get a letter from the president, it's a simple envelope in the corner, blue letters that say the White House. And my heart was pounding out of my chest. There's still this 12-year-old boy living inside of this college man, and I held up that envelope to my nose, like my nose somehow was going to tell me the truth. Okay, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. And I open it up, and it said, congratulations, Sean Stevenson. You've been selected to work in the White House alongside of the President of the United States. You'll be reporting for duty in 3 months. We look forward to seeing you. Now, back then, I was a single man in college. What do you think I did with that letter? I went around campus to all the ladies, and I was like, hey, what are you doing this summer? Are you doing this? Bam! Didn't work, but I thought it was worth a shot, right? And I remember the first day on the job, going up and down the halls and thinking about the historical moments that had taken place in that location and thinking about how history was made there. And there was something I loved about working at the White House, and that was watching the president come home from traveling from overseas. See, he would land Air Force One at Andrews Air Force Base, and then to get from the Air Force Base to the White House, he didn't just show up in an SUV or a minivan like you and I would. No, he would show up in a helicopter. A helicopter the size of a school bus. And it was dark green with a big, bright white stripe at the top, big American flag painted on the side, and a rotor that you could hear coming for miles. And I thought, you know what would be really great? It would be really cool is if I was in the backyard and I got to greet the president when he came home from work. I mean, little man in a wheelchair with a helicopter landing nearby, what could go wrong? Don't get ahead of me. So there I am. I have my schedule lined up with the president's schedule because I needed to have official business to be out on the South Lawn when the Marine One helicopter landed. But I didn't have any official business, so I had to look like I had official business, right? So I put on my busy face. You know what your busy face is? It's a kind of a combination, if you can get a real tight picture of me right here, it's a combination of looking like you have constipation, but you might also have diarrhea. It's a and when you put on your busy face, everyone in the vicinity around you goes, oh, I don't want to get near that. I don't want to be that busy, right? So I put on my busy face, I put an envelope under my armpit, and I headed out. And I could hear off into the distance the helicopter. Oh, and that 12-year-old boy inside of this college man, he was so excited. His vision was coming more true. And I get to the South Lawn entrance. And the doors are closed. And there weren't those handicap accessible buttons. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those buttons when you're carrying lots of pizza and you hit it with your butt and you're like, oh, how convenient. They're not for you. And if I could digress for a moment, you know the larger stall in the bathroom? That's not your dressing room. You know, people, they, with this disability, people always tell me weird things. They, people often feel the need to tell me, Sean, my grandmother's in a wheelchair. Which I always like to respond, oh my God, my cousin's also an idiot. Anyway. South Lawn, the doors are closed. And I am seeing the helicopter hovering about 10 feet off the ground outside. And I'm thinking, Sean, you got to get outside. That 12-year-old boy, he was excited. He wanted to greet the president. And then I thought about something. I remembered something from high school physics. Something called momentum. If I could just get enough running room, I could get up to 88 miles per hour. And I could bust through those doors. So now what I'm doing is I'm getting myself ready. I'm psyching myself up like I'm a running back and those are the linebackers I got to get through. And I'm like, you got nothing. You got nothing, son. And I took off. Wham, 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 bam. The doors flew open. And now I get outside and I didn't expect what happened next. A giant wall of wind slapped me in the face and blew me back into the White House. And I was like, oh no. And now I am huffing and I am puffing and I get outside. That wasn't that bad. And have you ever gotten a little cocky? Have you ever thought you achieved something, but you really fully hadn't yet? Has anybody in your seat ever been cocky? I'm just curious. All right, so I see off in the distance a tree, and it's waving at a different speed of all the other trees. So I look a little closer, and I see 12 men in all black military fatigue. They're climbing down ropes and running at me with submachine guns. And I look down at my chest, and I see little red laser dots. Well, I'm glad you think that's funny. They don't know. This is the emergency response team. If you get past the Secret Service, these are the ones that take you down. And they don't know that I know the President of the United States. Now, I don't know how perceptually aware you are. But I can't run. But something inside of me that day jumped out and said, ah! Ah! And I raced to the helicopter, and the helicopter door swung open. And the President of the United States stepped out, and he looked at me. And that's when I realized, you better have a vision for your life. You have to have a clear vision in your life for what do you want with your finances? What do you want with your relationships? What do you want with your family? Where do you want to go? What do you want to have? Because most people outside of these walls, they're roaming the planet completely unclear of the vision for their life. If you ask most people on the street, what do you want? They'll say, I don't know. I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be angry. They know very clearly what they don't want. So what do they get? What they don't want. Because the vision is in our mind and we keep having it over and over and over. And here's what's happened. When you are focused on what you don't want, it's like you're walking backwards into your future. Now, I don't walk, so you're going to have to help me on this one. But what happens when you walk backwards for very long? You trip. You bump into things, you get off course. And when you're focused on what you don't want, when you're so obsessed with worrying about what you don't want to have happen, you are walking backwards into your future. And that's why I believe you came here. because you want a very clear vision for your marketing, very clear vision for your purpose, a very clear vision for what is your intention behind being a coach. Raise your hand if you love helping people. Keep your hand up if you love to market. Okay, honesty, I like this. This is good. Now, most of us, we want to help people, but we don't want to have to market ourselves. We don't want to have to tell people our price. We don't want to have to discuss the money thing. Can't I just be a healer? Just want to heal. Just, can't my phone ring and I pick it up and I say, how can I heal you? Oh, you already paid me? That's great. Because then we don't have to talk about money. And the phone keeps ringing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No squeeze pages, no conversions, no Facebook ads, no traffic, never having to figure out anything about marketing. That would be wonderful. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's not real. You're here to learn how to grow a business. And the only reason why you would ever be afraid to grow your business and market and tell people what your value is if you didn't feel it was a value. If you feel in your heart that you have something to share with the world, maybe it's an incredible story about your transformation or incredible information that you came across that helped you or others, and you want to share that with the world, you need to be telling everybody, because you're doing a disservice to the planet if you are just waiting around for somebody to ask you, oh, what do you do? Oh, how can I hire you? You can't wait. Do you know how many people are on this planet in pain? When I am preparing my talks, I spend more time visualizing you. I visualize what pain is in this audience, what struggles you're going through. Because when you focus on what is out there to help and why you have this incredible vision to go help those people, you will stop worrying about yourself. You will stop worrying about talking about money or telling somebody what your rates are or sharing with anybody marketing material. Please hear me clearly. If you're worried about growing your business, you're being selfish. You need to be thinking about others. I take this stage with confidence because it's not about me anymore. I had to come across that realization that this is about you. And I love human beings. You're my favorite animal. I love human beings. Because it doesn't matter where in the world I travel to. Whatever group I'm speaking to, if there are humans in the audience, I know it's going to be awesome.
Hey, Better Than Ever podcasters, we interrupt this incredible speech to shine some light on one of our very own tribe members. The Health Coach Institute has partnered with Real Food for Kids Montgomery. This organization was co-founded by Become a Health Coach student, Lindsay Parsons.
We are a grassroots parent and student advocacy organization, and we are working for real, whole, local, sustainable, and nutrient-rich foods in the Montgomery County Public Schools in Maryland. And we also have a coalition called Healthy School Food Maryland that we coordinate for the entire state of Maryland, trying to improve the school food statewide.
Two moms partnered together because they were concerned about what the schools were feeding their kids, so they decided to do something about it.
We've been able to accomplish a lot of changes in the school food in the county. It started with them removing strawberry milk, and then we got them to be more transparent about what they are serving on the side, what they call the a la carte options, which are typically ice cream and cookies and chips that they're selling but not putting on the menus. And then we got them to keep the vending machine selling soda and candy off until 30 minutes after the end of the school day. And we got them to form a wellness committee, start giving free water to kids in elementary school. And then they started to remove some of the chemicals and artificial colors. And this year we found out they're removing all the remaining artificial colors from school foods. And let's see, the most recent thing is in the process of removing those artificial colors, they've replaced all of the multicolored ice creams with ones that don't have food dyes. They've taken out the Doritos and Cheetos that have food dyes and replaced those with cleaner label snacks. So, and they've started to do some more scratch cooking. Doritos actually launched a wild white Dorito in schools that has no food dyes, partially because of Montgomery County cutting off the contract and stopping buying the previous ones that had the food dyes.
Needless to say, a concerned mom is a force to be reckoned with. But they can't do it all alone, which is why HCI is proud to partner with this revolutionary organization.
So we're a very small nonprofit organization. So we only have one staff member, that's me. And it supports our advocacy work. So advocacy work is a lot of human resources in the sense of it's people testifying before school board meetings, it's relationship building, it's grassroots building of a network. We also have volunteer parent representatives at all the schools in the county, or not all of them, but we're trying for all of them. And so we train those representatives to start wellness committees and make changes at their schools. So it basically supports our operations, the auction. So we have a variety of items donated by mostly local businesses, but some at a more national level like this one. To be honest, it's very challenging to find funding to support our work because we are a small organization centered just in one county. And so we really appreciate it when companies like HCI generously donate something to our silent auction. So I'm also excited to introduce the program to our membership because it's been a great training for me and has given me the confidence to launch a health coaching business. So I'm very appreciative.
Want to learn a little bit more about Real Food for Kids Montgomery?
They can go to our website at www.realfoodforkidsmontgomery.org. They can also check out our statewide organization, especially if they were somewhere else in the state of Maryland besides Montgomery County, which is called Healthy School Food Maryland. And you'll probably see us in the newspapers towards the end of this month or early next month as we release our school food environment grades for the state of Maryland for the second time.
If you are interested in volunteering...
So if they go to our website, there's a whole description of the different types of things that people can do as a volunteer, and they can just send me an email and we can get them started.
We are so excited to see the difference our tribe is making in their community. Thank you, Lindsay, for letting us be part of your mission.
To be unstoppable, you have to climb a pyramid. And here is the pyramid. At the base of the pyramid, you first have to deal with your insecurities. Anybody in here have any insecurities? Anybody? I read a study that said something like 2 out of 3 people have insecurities. I'm like, the guy writing it was lying. Because it's 3 out of 3. Every single one of us has insecurities. Repeat after me. We all have insecurities.
We all have insecurities.
And because we all have them, there's a way that you can live your life so that your insecurities don't get to control you anymore. You see, when I was developing my career, I knew that I had these insecurities, and they would sometimes just kind of show up late at night. You ever notice that at night, it was dark out, maybe no one's home with you, and you're all by yourself, and you hear that little voice go, hey, psst, psst, hey, come here. You really suck at everything. And you're ugly. And he doesn't really love you. What? Where is this coming from? That's your insecurities. But I'm going to tell you why you have insecurities. It's not because you're flawed or broken or bad or somebody hurt you. No, you have insecurities because it is just a part of you that is not fully involved. There's just a part of your brain that is trying to keep you safe by trying to not get you to go outside of your comfort zone. Insecurities are a hardwired thing. They're not bad and wrong. You just got to know how to deal with them by turning them off. And here's how you turn them off. You have to rid yourself of insecurities. And the cure to insecurities, here's the tweetable moment. The cure to insecurities is self-care. Self-care. So what is self-care? That's taking care of yourself. And here's what I found with amazing women like yourself and some of the gentlemen here too, is that it's very easy to take care of everybody else, right? And to have that badge of honor. Oh, I am such a good friend. I stayed so much longer than everybody else at the bake sale. It was amazing. I stayed longer in the office. I helped that friend change their tire. I did this. I did that for all these people. And I don't know why there's nothing left for me. I see this all the time where people take great care of others, but they ignore themselves. The cure to insecurity is self-care. You need to become very regimented about your self-care. I have something that I use to make sure that my self-care works. It's called my consistency calculator. I have a list of all the things that I can do to take care of myself and my business. And I go through and I check mark them off, and I am conscious of if I'm not feeling good, if my insecurities are biting at me and I'm doubting myself and I'm feeling like I'm not enough, I just go back to taking care of myself. I leave time for breathing and meditation, stretching and exercise, spending time in nature, reaching out to friends, reading a good book, doing the work on my mind, body, and spirit. The next level of the pyramid is you need to align with your life purpose. You need to connect or align with your life purpose. One of my mentors sat down with me once and he said, "Sean, why were you born?" I was a little snarky. I was like, "My parents did it? I don't know. What are you talking about? Why was I born?" And you know when somebody's serious and they ask you the question again, why were you born? And then I did something that my wife Mindy has taught me, where you drop down out of your head where all the chatter resides, and you go into your heart where the truth is. Because the heart has no questions, and the head has no answers. And he said, "Why were you born, Sean?" And I said, "To rid the world of insecurity." And he said he could feel the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. And he said, "Yes, you were. Because if there was anybody born into any container that would get up in front of the human race and teach us about the fact that we don't need to be insecure and we would trust and listen to this person, it would be you." You see, you got to get this container that I'm in. It's not something I have to deal with. This is a part of the mission. This is a part of the purpose. Your container is a part of your purpose. Your parents and where you were raised and the things that happened to you, it is a part of the purpose so that you could create a message that you could connect to people and help people and have that experience for your life purpose. And anytime you're exhausted, you need to take care of yourself and then get aligned again with that life purpose. And last, this one's the hardest. The tip of the pyramid is you need to surround yourself with an empowering environment. Surround yourself with an empowering environment. And that means a lot of things. That means, who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending time with? Where do you live? How do you set up your home? How do you set up your business? Who are your mentors? Who are your peers? Who are your apprentices? Because if they are not empowering, It's only a matter of time. I believe that one negative person in your peer group is enough to derail your destiny. I am ruthless about this one, and people don't like it. People squirm. They're like, but what if I'm married to that person? Laughter or recognition? I don't know. But you need to get clear on what kind of person do you want to be and go surround yourself with that kind of person. Because your environment, when you're in the environment, you become the environment. It doesn't matter how much willpower you think you have. If you are out there wanting to make a difference in the world, and then you come home or then you hang out with friends and they are tearing you down, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen for you, or that's a crazy lofty goal, or you probably shouldn't do that. Look, I see this all the time. People see in their peer group, they don't want you to get their hopes up. They don't want your hopes up. But think about it. Where should your hope be? Like, should we get our hopes down? That's smart, Sean. Yeah, that's where we should put them. No, your hopes need to be up. Because guess what? At the worst case is your feelings get a little hurt. But no one died of a hurt feeling. They got up. They had to get back up. And you're going to have moments where you're going to feel knocked down. And you just need to hear that voice inside that you condition yourself with. Get back up. Let's try this. Here's what we're going to do is we're going to start at a whisper. We're going to repeat, get back up. And then we're going to go up at another level of volume. And then we're going to go to a third level. So ready? Whisper. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. That's what it needs to feel like. You have to condition yourself. And as the rest of the world is looking at you funny, you got to tell yourself, get back up. And it's going to come from an empowering environment. And sometimes in your environment, there's going to be stress. Raise your hand if you have stress in your life. Oh, you too? I'm going to teach you a question that's going to help you with your stress. Write this down. This question has bailed me out a lot in my life. What's funny about this? Repeat after me. What's funny about this?
What's funny about this?
This is a question you're going to ask yourself when you're in a jam and you're all frustrated. And I learned about the power of this phrase, and I learned about the power of laughter when I was working on Capitol Hill for my congressman. If you want to laugh a lot, go work for Congress, okay? And one day, I got into work early. About 45 minutes early. And I'm just curious, by a raise of hands, who likes to show up early to a meeting and just kind of have your me time and prepare your mind? How many people never actually end up doing that? But it's great in theory, right? So, 45 minutes early, I have my hot tea, my newspaper, I go into my office, and then I hear that my congressman had beaten me in. He was already in here. And he says, Sean, get in here. Yes, Mr. Congressman. Sean, I need you to run a message to the other side of the Capitol. No one else is here. I need you to get this message delivered. Can you do it? Yes, sir. So I took the message. I had my hot tea, my newspaper, and I headed out. And I went to a part of the Capitol that I had never been to. And I got to the elevator bank. And I can't reach most elevator buttons. So what do? Is I travel with an elevator stick, also known as a back scratcher. I press the button, the door is open. I go inside, doors close behind me. Spin around, I look for my floor, I press the button, except nothing happened. I'm thinking, that's weird, let me try it again. Pressed it a little harder, nothing happened. And then I got a little frustrated, and I started stabbing it harder and harder. and nothing happened. And then a light bulb went off inside my mind. Sean, you just entered an elevator where on the outside the buttons were pressure sensitive, but on the inside they were heat sensitive, and your elevator stick isn't hot enough. And I thought to myself, what would MacGyver do? If I had a pack of chewing gum and a tampon, I could make a bomb. So then, I thought, okay, let's do this, Sean. We got this. Nothing. Y'all remember when you were younger and before they came out with digital thermometers, they had the ones that with the mercury and your mom would put it under your armpit? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I shoved this thing under my armpit and I'm getting my juices on it now. Nothing. Now I'm getting frustrated. Now I start throwing an adult temper tantrum. You guys know what an adult temper tantrum is? It's a temper tantrum adults have. Okay? And I'm like talking to myself out loud, right? I can't believe they're trapping people with disabilities. They're on the outside, the buttons are pressure. This is ridiculous. Why would they trap people like this? This is ridiculous. And I then had an idea that I'm not too proud of. Can I be a little vulnerable with you guys today? That was not very reassuring. Can I be vulnerable? Yeah. Okay, I decided to sit on my elevator stick. Now I am grinding on my elevator stick. I'm like, who's your daddy? I'm going, and I hit the button. What do you think happened? Nothing. So I asked myself a question. What question did I ask? The answer? Nothing! Nothing is funny about this. And then as I'm grinding my elevator stick, I noticed a little camera in the corner. And I started to laugh. You know, when you laugh, you raise your T cell count. So you actually boost your immune system. When you laugh, you release into your spinal fluid anti-inflammatories. So you actually relieve swelling and pain. When you laugh, you exercise over 200 muscle groups. Laughter truly is the best medicine. And, you know, I travel the world, and I go into some audiences that are very challenged. I go into schools after school shootings. I've been to towns that have been leveled by natural disasters. I've held parents as they sob in my arms because their child committed suicide. I've seen pain. But do you know when I can tell that the healing has begun? When I hear the laughter again. When I hear the laughter back in those halls of the schools. When I hear the laughter back in the living rooms of those homes. When I hear the laughter, I know that the healing has begun. I know this is not a perfect world. I know there's a lot of things on this planet I wish didn't have to happen. I know there's a lot of atrocities. I know there's a lot of pain. I know even in this room that things have happened to you that are just not fair. But I want to tell you that the only way that you're going to get back up is if you start to laugh again. You start to look at what's great, what is funny, what is amazing. You need to heal yourself with your own laughter during your darkest hours. You see, because eventually they called the elevator again from the outside. And I went, delivered my message, and then I went down to the maintenance department. To the guy in charge of the elevators. We had a nice little chit-chat. And I was like, excuse me, sir, you have a bit of an issue in this elevator. On the outside, the buttons are pressure sensitive. On the inside, the buttons are heat sensitive. And people with disabilities, their elevator sticks don't get hot enough, and you're trapping people with disabilities. And he said in the most condescending voice, boy, they're not heat sensitive. They conduct an electrical current through your body. If you would have just had a little bit of tinfoil on the end of your elevator stick, you would have been fine.
So good.
Who comes to work with tinfoil? Am I going to be in an elevator like, hey guys, want to bake a batch of brownies? What are you talking about? And we started laughing. You have to look for what's funny about your life. You have to have a very clear vision for your life. You have to know how to control your emotions instead of having your emotions control you, because your emotions develop your attitude, and the attitude is what teaches people how to treat you and therefore creates the experience of attracting the right kind of people. You have to know that sometimes you're going to come across people that are going to throw the shoe at you, and you need to be the leader that puts the shoe down. Takes them out for lunch and says, what's going on? You need to be looking at, when you're in your biggest and most painful moment, where's the gift here? And how do I get back up? And when all else fails, what's funny about this? So there I am, South One, the helicopter lands, the door swings open, and the President of the United States steps out, and he looks at me, and he says, Sean, good to see you, buddy. Sean, would you like me to push you into the White House today? Oh, Mr. President, that would be an honor. Now, what I didn't tell you is that this whole time, up in the White House on the top floor was my boss banging on the window going, John, no! I said, Mr. President, that's my boss. He went, oh, hey, buddy, hey. And now the President of the United States is pushing me back to the White House. The South Lawn doors, as if by magic, swing open, and I hear, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.